0244-365-447. Auto Chill. Stay chilled.
We are coming up with Destruction for Gold. That documentary that's been put together by my colleague Erastus Asare-Donkor is airing on Monday here on the Joy News Channel, revealing some issues happening. And we know currently that there's some prospecting or mining in the Nimiri Forest, which is supposed to be a forest reserve. How did Akonta Mining Company Limited, a company that we now know belongs to Chairman Wuntumi, the regional chairman, that's the Ashanti regional chairman of the NPP. He's been speaking about it, mentioning that he has a license to be prospecting or mining in the Nimiri Forest, which is supposed to be a forest reserve. And just today and just this morning, our team in the Ashanti region has given us files indicating that the Asantehene Otumfo Seitu II has been speaking about the illegal mining situation. This is about the second or third time we're hearing him on this. He's insisting that chiefs cannot be accused of allowing illegal mining to thrive when licenses are issued without recourse to traditional authorities. That's the situation he's raising. He's also talking about questioning the failure of the security agencies to successfully fight illegal mining in the country. Let's hear from the Asantehene Otumfo Seitu II.
When you come to Galamse, that is an albatross on our head. It's rather unfortunate that this happened this way. Ghana was known as the Gold Coast, and therefore it was known. But during that time, it wasn't like the Galamse that we are talking about. Many ones people were doing hundreds and hundreds of years ago. It was there. But unfortunately, it's gotten to a point where people are now using equipment that and all that and doesn't care about, they don't care about the environment or anything. But the question is, who is in control of that security around the area? From the district level to the highest level. We are all talking about Galamse. Mm-hmm. The government set up a military police to do it. Why have we not been able to stop it? There's the point. Why haven't we been able to stop it? If you create a system where we say we will stop it, to the extent that the president says, I've put my presidency on the line, and yet it is going on, then to me, something is wrong somewhere. So we need to review why this is happening. Polluting our waters. And a case in point is when I came back and hear that a Chinese woman who had was supposedly deported is back in this country also doing Galamse again. Who allowed him to come? Is it that our borders are porous? Or what? So what happened? And people know who are doing the Galamse. They know the people are working there in the communities with those people. Unfortunately, unemployment may be the problem. Fine, but that is not to say that we have to destroy environments. Unemployment could be a problem. Fine, so people in communities will say, I don't have any job to do, and therefore, but that's not the alternative. So it's something that is facing all of us that we need to find out what went wrong. But to me, why can't Galamse be stopped? Because I'm sure people are also involved, that they know and have some authority somewhere, that I don't think that should be the case. So but if they go there and meet the Galamse people with gold and all those things, what happens? Where is the gold? Where is the money? Who is taking it? Let's face reality. So that you the concession or whatever it is given by them, by the authorities in Accra. The chiefs don't give concessions to people. The chiefs are there, the people come, they say that we've gotten a document from Accra to say that we've been given a license to come and mine. Who consulted the chief for him to even be able to supervise where he's going? And the constitution says the minerals under is being held in trust for the people by the president. So whoever gave that person the license to go in should be responsible to supervise that the degradation of the land.
As Asantehene Otumfo say to the second they're speaking during that courtesy call on him by the U.S. ambassador at the Menchia Palace. That's the concern. Chiefs cannot be blamed entirely who were giving these licenses. We've heard from Chairman Wuntumi saying that his license to prospect in the Nimiri Forest spans all the way to 2035. How is that possible? We've been told that he's been instructed, or we've heard the Lands and Natural Resources Minister indicate that he should halt his activities in there. That's a Akonta mining. What then happens? Does it stop there? But we can hear from Samola Bujinapo during his tour also of the Ashanti region.
Baffle all of us as citizens, as policymakers, and as stakeholders in this fight, how an operation like this in the heart of the forest and in the faraway areas of our country can go on without notice by the police, the chiefs, the local political leadership, assembly people, the district chief executive, for example. And as you dare say, even the inspectorate division of the Minerals Commission here. And these are questions that I, as minister, am going to be seeking answers for. How is it the case that such an operation can be mounted and such level of devastation can happen?
Against illegal mining can only be won if it's a collective action, if we all collectively put our weight and put our support behind the fight. And I've made this point over and over again. Mining, with the greatest of respect, in all humility and modesty, is never conducted in an office. Mining is conducted in the countryside. It's conducted out there. And if it's conducted out there, the people who are responsible for the various jurisdictions in the country, with the greatest of respect, that are the people who should come to grips with this matter. But there it is.
So that's the Lands and Natural Resources Minister recently in the Ashanti region. We know that he summoned five regional ministers to talk about this situation where we have this illegal mining situation prevalent. We've heard about this exchange of gunfire with impunity actually happening right here in Ghana. We're told also in the eastern region that some arrests have been made, about 15 arrests from the police statement that we are seeing so far. What really is happening? We've had Operation Halt, Operation Vanguard, a number of operations just to deal with illegal mining. What really is the problem? We've heard from the Asantehene raising concerns that chiefs cannot be blamed entirely because they are not issuing these licenses. Let me come to my guests now for their preliminary comments on this. And as we go on, we will take your comments as well on this illegal mining situation. Then we can get into the IMF conversation and then the GNPC scandal. There's more happening there that we need to unearth as well right here on Newsfile. So for obvious reasons, I'll start with Dr. Prisla Chumisi on this. We know that there are economic drivers, of course, that's leading to this illegal mining situation. But should that take precedence over our environment, really? That's the concern.
Thank you, Amaka. Good morning, and good morning to your listeners once again. Indeed, when it comes to rent-seeking behavior, like we find in the mining sector, it is a difficult fight to win unless there are strict rules and measures that are put in place, not necessarily ad hoc measures once in a while, campaign against it. Because like the minister indicated, the people that are prospecting for gold and all that, they are in the hinterland, so you cannot be in offices regulating such activities. So we need a national consensus, a stronger fight against the menace. Because indeed, when you look at some of the scenes in videos and pictures, it's like a war zone. And you see that the people that are engaged in this, the returns to the hazardous activities they are involved in are quite high for those that are engaging in those activities. But it comes at the detriment of the whole society, because as a society, I mean, we are losing our water bodies. It takes so long, number of years, to reclaim these lands that have been left in such devastating manner. And so for me, I think that we need to, as a country, be more stricter on the rules. Punitive measures And I see that the police will be arresting some of the people. But indeed, when you look at these people, you see that these are the young men that have been hired or are doing the galamse themselves. We need a few big wigs within India to serve as a deterrent to others. I believe that if a number of people have been jailed, have been punished for these activities, influential people, it will serve as a good signal to deter the many that are involved in these activities on the other side of the country. And also, I mean, the other bit is that, yes, whilst we are doing this, how are we, how is the system coming out with policies to generate alternative livelihoods for people that have been involved in these activities? Oh, yes, so these are a national consensus that needs to be built for a whole agenda to battle this, because certainly the rate we are going is not sustainable.
But with this fight so far, over the period, with what you've seen, I know you've mentioned how difficult it is, but do you see some level of seriousness in wanting to actually deal with this situation?
To be honest, to the extent that the president puts his presidency on board, I believe that the success stories are not many, given that we are still seeing what we see. So the question we need to ask is, the people the president has appointed in positions of authority to manage these activities, what are they doing? And if we are not getting results, why are they still in position, for example? I think that people must be held accountable. And for that matter, when we do that, then it serves as a signal for people who are in their bid to prospect, people who are being encouraged to move into the business and all that. But at the moment, I don't think that the system has achieved much.
Mr. Wa, let me come to you. I know we are all about, or mostly about, building our strong financial institutions, amongst others, but looking at our water bodies, looking at the situation in terms of our fight against illegal mining, I'm sure you've seen the exchange of gunfire. Amister, we are told that there have been some arrests, amongst others, but really, from where you sit, what do you see when it comes to our fight against illegal mining? You sit in the financial sector. Are you happy with what you see?
Thank you very much, Anifa. It's sad that when you see the images and the news stories, you cannot but bow your head down almost in shame. It's sad that a classic case of the personal interest of a few people overriding the entire national interest. And it is sad that these few people have succeeded so much to more or less conscript the entire security apparatus of the country in a manner that it's not able to act. And when you hear of reports that some of these illegal miners are being protected by people who are supposed to be arresting them, it goes to deep to the point that we are not ready to fight the fight. What we do as a country is, as these matters come up, rush quickly just to quell the news, and then afterwards we go back to business as usual. We can't deal with galamsey menes with business as usual. It needs concerted effort, commitment, dedication, and people who are truly in words and in deeds willing and able to act to stop this from happening. And when people talk about galamsey, that the future of generations, is being sacrificed, I say it's not the future of generations. We who are alive now, we may not even see that future if the pace at which the environment is being degraded pursues or goes on at this pace. In our lifetime, we will see its direct impact, negative impact. And I'll give you a short story. Growing up, I spent some time in a village in the Ashanti region called Enyinasu. Mm-hmm. As you enter the village, there used to be a big river before the village and another river just as you exit the village. After over 35 to 40 years, I had not been there. And one day, on my route to an event in the Brown House region at the time, I decided to pass through that village to see how things are panned out in the environment where I spent a few years. I entered the village without knowing that I was in the village. And when I stopped and asked about the river, they said, oh, this river has disappeared long ago. So I thought as I exited the town, I was going to see the other river. When I got there, it had also disappeared. Even during the rainy season, there is no river there. So in our lifetime, in one village, you've lost two river sources. If we do not deal with this, with all the energies and the economic power that as a state we have, the security that we have, it is an existential issue. We must tackle it at its back. We need to tackle it from the roots. We don't have to respond just to news stories. And they say in performance management that what gets measured gets done. And I support what my colleague panelist just mentioned. If there is no consequence for the things that have happened, there's nothing that's going to happen to change the course that as a country we are on now. People must get fired. If you are a DCE and in your locality there's illegal mining going on, you must lose your job. It's as simple as that. Mm. And we like to scratch surfaces of our problems without dealing with the underlying issue. There are too many big men in this country, big men in quotes, who supposedly can pick a phone and everything stops. We need to get to the point where those big men are made to answer for their ills and sins to the country. It's appalling the way and manner we've allowed this. This should not be news. It's one weak action, and I'm sure all the perpetrators, the people who are destroying the future of this country and our livelihood of this country, they'll just disappear in a matter of a week or a month if we are serious about it. Look at this image. And it's so sad that people can have the effrontery to tell us that they have permits to mine in a forest reserve. What kind of country is this? It's the more you talk about it, the more become, you know, almost apprehensive, and it's so sad.
Well, assurances have been given. We've been told about measures that have been put in place. Why it's not working and why it's not stopping and why our water bodies are not clearing remains a mystery. But thankfully, the ranking member on the Mines and Energy Committee is with me in the studios. Mr. John Jinapo, thank you so much for joining us once again. So you sit where you sit. You see it all. At least you interact with those who are supposed to be dealing with this particular situation. What really is hampering the process of dealing with illegal mining?
Thank you very much. First of all, I think that it's a major, major problem. Normally, when you have a situation where such minerals lead to some significant levels of revenue, there is the tendency and the temptation for people to move in there. And that is even why the state, particularly those in authority, ought to be determined, measured, and ensure that they fight this canker. I think all of us have come to agree that this illegal mining activity is causing a serious problem for us as a nation. If we look at our river bodies, our forest cover, and I even heard the Minister of Information indicate that it could impact exports of cocoa. Mm-hmm. Don't forget our cocoa volumes have already reduced from about 1 million to 680,000, partly because people are cutting down their cocoa trees for illegal mining activities. So it's a major, major area. You might get some quick money today, but then the consequence going forward and sustainability is a major issue. The buck stands with the president, and that is why the president himself said he's putting his job on the line. Nobody compelled him. He himself, realizing how serious the issue is, told the people of Ghana that he's putting his job on the line. The result so far has been very, very appalling for me. The president hasn't achieved anything significant. But you asked a legitimate question. How do you deal with it? The only way to deal with it, in my opinion, is the president to show leadership by going after his people. There's ample evidence to suggest and to confirm that some top hierarchy within the MPP are engaged in this illegal activity.
Are they?
They are. You just cited Akonta Mining. And he says that he has a prospecting license till 2035. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's shocking. This is the law. Just a moment. Minerals and Mining Act 703 Section 35 says, a prospecting license shall be granted for an initial period not exceeding 3 years.
SAS has been renewing it, and
the renewal, extension of the time, the holder of a prospecting license may at any time, but not later than 3 months before the expiration of the license, apply in the form that may be prescribed to the minister for an extension of the term of the prospecting license, subject to 38(3), for a period not more than 3 years.
Yes.
Mm. So how can you renew it till 2035? I mean, this is the law. The law says that you can't go beyond 3 years. And even when you go to 38, it says that the acreage or the land size ought to be reducing going forward. So how come Wuntumi is able to acquire a prospecting license that expires in 2035?
There may be more Wuntumis out there.
A lot of them. We get a lot of reports. And we issued a statement, I think, 2 weeks ago, when we heard that he was degrading the forest in Samnaboy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, go to the minister's own statement. This is the press release from the minister, 30th September 2022, issued by the Public Relations, Ministry of Lands and Natural Resources. It is clear, the statement confirms that what Akonta Mining, owned by Chairman Wuntumi, was doing there was illegal.
They've asked him to halt activities.
No, the first thing is that what he was doing was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So he's breached the law. There's no doubt about that. Because the fact that you have a prospecting license doesn't mean you can just move into the forest and start degrading it. You need other permits, like environmental permits and other permits or licenses before you can move in. So clearly, there's some blatant disregard for the law, like some of my colleagues are saying, by some people who feel untouchable. Let's face it, but for the fact that Chairman Wuntumi was the Ashanti Regional Chairman of the MPP, could he have moved into the forest and start degrading it the way he was doing? And you, the media,
but he started
kept
this way back.
It.
But
yes,
the concern is he started way back. He didn't just start when he became the regional chairman of the NPP. So for you to say that because he's a regional chairman, that's how come he's been left off the hook. Some action of a sort has been taken now. We're told, is it enough? Is not enough? You expect more to be done?
You would recall that President Mohamed's major problem with Chairman Wuntumi was when he attempted to stop him from these illegal activities. And he publicly went after President Mahama and stated that President Mahama was preventing him from earning his daily bread. So you could see a deliberate attempt by the then government to deal with this situation. I'm saying that this is a new phenomenon, especially with this forest reserve. We're talking of illegal mining. Now we're talking of illegal mining moving into forest reserves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a serious matter. So I'm saying the president must demonstrate that he's indeed committed. This government must show commitment by dealing with their own people.
Mm-hmm.
If they go arresting the small ones, the small fishes, whilst your own men are blatantly disregarding the law and moving into forest reserves and degrading the forest, you are sending the wrong signal. For me, this is a litmus test. There's evidence that what this company has done is illegal. They moved into the forest, degraded the forest without authority. And so I expect that this government and their ministers would take this on, use this as a test case, prosecute them, so that we would know that government is indeed committed against illegal mining. Anything short of this, for me, would just be scratching the surface to be mere rhetoric, and it doesn't demonstrate or confirm that this government is committed to fighting the canker. Look, this Akonta mining, he's been there for a long time. It's not yesterday, it's not yesterday. I have been working with some of your sister stations. I've been granting interviews. I've seen videos. Samatex has been complaining. The chiefs have been complaining. But the man feels that he is above the law. He's big. He has some political weight. And so he can do what he wants.
Likes of you, you have a committee. You're a ranking member on a key committee that's supposed to help with this fight. We hear you talk about it, and it appears beyond the news items, nothing much really happens. You have the powers. Why are you not using it?
Look, let's call a spade a spade. When it comes to punitive measures, when it comes to prosecution, it's not Parliament under.
Of course, it's not. But you have the powers to force the hand.
Mm-hmm. And responsibility in terms of oversight. It is Parliament. And we've held the minister responsible for this sector, lawyer Samuel Abujina, for severally before our committee, before Parliament, even in the chamber, to put him to stress test and all
so
that.
So PS is just hauling him before a committee, and that's it.
So therefore, the question is that what can Parliament do?
Mm-hmm.
You voted us to go and represent you. I'm telling what we have been doing. If you think that there's something in particular, something specific that Parliament ought to do that we are not doing, put it out here.
Mm.
And I promise you we'll take it up. I know that within the remit of the Constitution and within the powers that Parliament has, we have done a very, very good job in terms of advocacy, oversight, responsibility, giving directives. We've done everything we can. But the box stops with the president.
Okay.
It's the president who has the mandate and the power to stop this. He controls the security apparatus. He controls our budget. He appoints the ministers. He appoints the attorney general. He can institute prosecution through the attorney general. And so let us hold the man who has the power and the responsibility to stop this. When the president leaves, then all of us can support him. But if the president doesn't show commitment, if he doesn't fight this head on, don't hold MPs responsible for the failures of the president. I'm clear about this, and I'm very, very clear about what I'm saying.
Mm. Well, we've heard from the traditional rulers. They are also shifting the blame. They mentioned that they can't be blamed entirely for this because they don't issue the licenses, among others. But this is a fight that we ought to continue to deal with. And on Monday, here on the Joy News Channel, we're bringing you Destruction for Gold, that documentary put together by Erastus Asare-Donkor. You ought to catch it, and then we can all help in that fight against illegal mining. And we'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll get into the IMF talks. It's day five already. Debt sustainability on the path to get that $3 billion loan facility, and hoping that it would actually reflect in the November. That's the 2023 budget. What really happens? We've talked about the seven pillars outlined. We'll be taking a look at them right here on Newsfile. Please stay.